Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
In Uvalde, closeness complicates accountability for shooting. The Associated Press, Uvalde. After the massacre at Uvalde's Robb Elementary School in May, Jesse Rizzo was worried about his old friend, Police Chief Pete Arredondo. Blame for the botched police response was being directed heavily at Arredondo when Rizzo texted him just days after the shooting, "Been thinking of you and praying for you." 2 months later, with investigations and body camera video spotlighting the hesitant and haphazard response by police to the killing of two teachers and 19 students, Rizzo remains worried about Arredondo. He also wants him fired. Rizzo contemplated feelings about his Uvalde High School classmate captured the type of mixed emotions that families of victims and many residents of the close-knit community are navigating as they challenge their grief and fury into demands for change. "I care about Pete. I care about his mentally. Okay, I don't want a human to start to lose it," says Rizzo, who is distantly related to a 9-year-old girl who was killed at Robb Elementary. "But I also want to hold people accountable who don't perform their jobs properly." The 50-year-old Arredondo, who was head of the school district's small police department, was one of the first officers on the scene, has taken much of the blame for not immediately storming the classroom and confronting the shooter. He has not responded to repeated requests for comment from the Associated Press. This week, the Uvalde School Board abruptly scheduled a meeting to discuss firing Arredondo, only to cancel it days later. As officials weighed their opinion, residents are growing impatient with unanswered calls to hold people accountable for the bewildering 77 minutes of inaction by nearly 400 police officers who responded to the school shooting. But the mere possibility of his firing after months of residence from local officials stands at a demonstration for the victims' families raising political clout. The strain over how to move forward is visible in the signs they have popped up all over town. Uvalde United. Uvalde must stand together. While those signs mean different things depending on whom you ask, other signs are more poignant. Prosecute Pete Arredondo. Family ties and political struggles go back generations in Uvalde, a community where nearly 3/4 of the residents are Hispanic. Locals had largely revered the police before the shooting. Uvalde's leaders, many of whom are white, shared church pews with their finest critics and demanded accountability can mean calling for the job of your friend, neighbor, or employer. It's a town with a power struggle and unwritten rules that make it hard for many people to speak out, said Michael Ortiz, a local college professor to move to Uvalde 13 years ago, and said his tenure allowed him to be vocal in a way that not visible for many of the community's mostly working-class residents. "Someone's boss might not like that," Ortiz said. "They're afraid even to march." Since the shooting, the mostly Hispanic parents of the victims have struggled to make their demands heard by the city and school district. Local officials initially resisted releasing information and calls to fire officers, but things are shifting. In a sign growing political activism, more than 300 people have registered to vote in Uvalde since the shooting, more than double the number in the same period of the last midterm election season. And in July, over 100 protesters braved 106-degree heat to call for stronger gun regulations, including raising the minimum age to buy an assault weapon and for greater transparency from local and state authorities investigating the shooting. That was the largest local demonstration since 1970, when the school district's refusal to renew the contract to popular Robb Elementary teacher prompted one of the Texas' longest school walkouts over demands for equal education for Mexican-American residents. That teacher's son is Ronnie Garza, a Uvalde County Commissioner. Garza said the shooting has changed the community, uniting people in grief but dividing them on questions of accountability. "We are desperate people right now. We are yelling here that way. We are yelling the other way for someone to listen to us, to come, to help us," said Garza. Faced with incomplete and contradictory accounts from local and state law enforcement, the families of those killed in Uvalde have begun to make people listen. After state lawmakers issued a damning report that found systematic failure and egregious poorly decision-making by both police and school officials, the Uvalde School Board held a special session to hear from parents. Superintendent Hal Harrell apologized for previously being too formal and not letting the victims' families say their piece, trying to find the right time, the right balance out of respect. "I did not do well," said Harrell, who is white and spoke in an auditorium named for his father, who was also superintendent. For the next 3 hours, grieving parents and community members unbraided the board, saying if it didn't hold people accountable, they would lose their jobs. Some told Harrell he wasn't living up to his father's legacy, while others referenced the 1970s lockout and said the hope he would do better, drawing applause. People called for the whole school police force to be fired and jeered at state troopers standing at the room's edges. Rizzo, who was at the meeting, said he cannot respect how the police chief or many other officers he knows handled their job that day. "There are consequences to that," he said. "I cannot understand why he wouldn't just resign." But the long history between the tugs at Rizzo, too. In the text he sent Arredondo days after the shooting, he said, "Please be strong and be patient." Arredondo's responded, "Good to hear from you, bro. Thank you, and please keep praying for the babies." They haven't spoken since. Killer Queen to perform at Wagner Noel by Michael Bauer. Freddie Mercury may be gone, but he's certainly not forgotten. There's also no denying the impact that Mercury or the band Queen left around the world either. This Tuesday, rock and roll fans will get a chance to experience what a Queen concert would have been like during the group's primal years of the 70s and 80s with a tribute performance by Patrick Myers as Mercury's and his band's Killer Queen at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Killer Queen is a tribute band that's currently being touring all over the country playing the signature classics from the famous British rock band, including, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody, Under Pressure, We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, and Another One Bites the Dust. The group is nearing the end of the United States portion of its 2022 tour that shows all over the state of Texas. The band has 6 shows in the Lone Star State over a 1-week span, including the Wagner Noel on Tuesday. It'll be the first time the tribute band has performed in the Odessa Midland area. "We're looking forward to it," Myers said of Tuesday's performance. Myers said the group has enjoyed going around the country on tour. "It's been a fantastic tour in America," Myers said. "We've been doing 20 weeks altogether this year, so it's quite a long time. It's just a great show. Doing an American tour is so different. Each part of America is so different. That's what we discovered about playing in America." However, they saved the best of the American tour, as Myers says they enjoyed playing in Texas. "What we've discovered about playing in Texas is that there's such a big kick for us because the audience is always there," Myers said. "They just love rock and roll, and they love having a really good time. We've saved all our Texas dates until the end of the tour so that we can go out with a bang." After Midland, the group will perform at Do-Si-Do in Houston on July 28th and Brewster's Ice House in Corpus Christi on July 29th, before finishing up at Payne Arena in Hidalgo. The band is coming off a performance at Lava Cantina and Colony in Austin, City Limits in Austin. Killer Queen was formed back in June 1993. Their first public shows were in London University, following the footsteps of the real Queen, who had played their shows earlier 21 years ago. Myers never got the opportunity to see Queen or Freddie Mercury in person. In November 1991, Mercury, the rock frontman of the group, died of AIDS at the age of 45. "When I was a kid, we had just missed seeing Queen," Myers said. "We never saw Queen with Freddie because he stopped touring when Freddie passed away. That was such a big secret that they always kept quiet. We thought they would tour again." When Myers and his friends started the tribute group, he said it was a way about trying to make up for that. "A Queen concert is like a rite of passage," Myers said. "You want to be there with your hands in the air. You want to shout. You want to scream." When it came time for Killer Queen to be put together, Myers and the rest of his group grabbed some clothes and tried to look as close to the actual Queen as they could. You can never do it the same as Queen, but you can get all those ingredients, the costumes, the look, the vocal styles, the movement, the atmosphere. You can get that bottle of those elements to give it to the audience and let them decide if they want to pretend they're at an impossible concert. Tribute concerts and groove have been all over the rage for years now, but I believe it or not, there was a time when they weren't as big as they are today. It was around the time the Killer Queen was formed in the early 90s. There wasn't a scene for tribute bands at the time, Meyer said of his group beginning. There was tribute bands for Beatles and ABBA, but that was it. The idea that there would be a whole industry about that wasn't really happening. It was in the air, but it wasn't there. Because of that, Meyer said he wasn't sure if people would be accepting the group as a tribute. We didn't know if the people would want this, Meyer said. We're fans of Queen's, and we wanted people to accept us as genuine tribute to Queen, but we also wanted to be fun and humorous at the same time. There were a lot of elements. We were just wondering how this would work. We just weren't sure. But after going out performing their first concert, the rest soon became history. We went out, did our best, did that first show, and it remains one of the best nights of my life, Meyer said. It remains vivid even though it's a long time ago. It was transformative and an experience. That was the first time I heard Queen music live when we were performing it. It was weird. It's one thing to listen to Queen's songs, but it's been another to play them. Only when he started singing them did Myers realize how powerful they are. It's amazing how much craftsmanship and songwriting there is when you play every one of those tracks, Myers said. People remember Queen as being a great performer, great videos, great collection of people, but they're fantastic writers. Some people just like the take the writing for granted. It's effortless brilliance. The quality of those songwritings was great. That's why some people, when they discover Queen now, they go crazy. Over the years, Queen's legacy has lived on, thanks in part to nostalgia as well as films including Bohemian Rhapsody, which came out in 2018, starring Rami Malek as Mercury. YouTube and TikToks have introduced the famous group to newer, younger listeners. The 10-year-old and 7-year-olds that are discovering Queen now, they've just watched Freddie on the Bohemian Rhapsody film or on the TikTok or YouTube. They want to see that you give close as you can, Meyer said. The reaction you get from the crowd is so warm and euphoric. It's great. It's a very rewarding experience. Tickets for the concert can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/5ZBB6ZMV.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, July 25th. New Wilson and Young Chief Ready for Challenge. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. With the start of the school year just around the corner, Jessica Redman, the new principal at Wilson and Young Medal of Honor Middle School, is getting her feet under her. Redman was previously at Bice Elementary, where she was most recently principal. She had been going back and forth between campuses until she was able to settle at the middle school. A meet and greet was recently held for her. Quote, I got to meet a lot of the staff at the meet and greet, and everybody is very nice, very invested in this campus, which says a lot. So I'm very excited to get going, Redman said. Executive Director of Leadership Cindy Ratana said Redman has been an elementary principal and assistant principal for the past 7 years at Bice and has led that campus to great academic success. Quote, her transition to middle school is well-deserved, and she is a strong instructional leader who is eager to take on her new role, Ratana said. Sixth graders arrive August 9th, and everyone else starts August 11th. Quote, they'll, meaning the sixth graders, get to come in first and get used to their surroundings and the change and the transition, and then everyone will come in after that, Redman said. She added that the phase-in will help her, too. Redman had been at Bice from the time the campus opened. She served as an assistant principal for 3.5 years and spent 3.5 years as principal. Redman was a counselor at Gonzales Elementary, and before that, a teacher. Except for a year in the Lubbock area, she has spent her whole career with Ector County ISD. Redman earned a bachelor's degree in human development, family studies, and a master's degree in education, both from Texas Tech University. She has a master's in counseling and her educational leadership certification, both from the University of Texas Permian Basin. Making the transition from elementary to middle school is a challenge, quote, but I'm really excited for the challenge. Actually, I love the big kids. I am excited about the fact that a lot of my BICE students I'll see here at Wilson and Young. So to be able to follow them here and get to be a part of their learning journey again. I'm really excited about that, but you know, it's a challenge, and I'm looking forward to taking that challenge on, Redman said. She replaces Anthony Garcia, who is now principal at Odessa High School. Quote, Mr. Garcia had a good thing going here already, and so I'm looking forward to just taking that over and keeping all of his momentum going and adding in little touches here and there of the engagement that we have in elementary school. I'm really hoping to bring that into the classrooms here, Redman added. She wants to keep the culture going at Wilson and Young. Quote, the culture here seems to be in a really good place. I would love to keep it that way and maybe even expand on that a little bit. We had a really good culture at BICE, and so I'm hoping that that will be a seamless transition. They were already on the road to success, Redman said. On the accountability side, she's hoping to see continued growth. Quote, we won't know for sure what the accountability looks like until August, but once I find that out, I'm going to have a very specific goal of where I want us to be as far as the continued growth. Mr. Garcia had already made some leaps and bounds, and I'm hoping to come in and continue to do the same. I'm really hoping that I can grow Wilson and Young kind of the same way we did BICE into the higher-ranking accountability, Redman said. She added that she will be able to ask Garcia for help. Quote, we get along great, and in fact, he has been very helpful. He is an open book. I can text him, call him, anything I need, and he's been great, along with the staff. The staff is also very welcoming, and like I said, very invested in the campus. That really helps a lot. Also, Miss Jana Norman, who is the AP, assistant principal, was here last year too, and she's great as well, Redman said. The most recent enrollment number for Wilson and Young was 1,250 students in grades 6 through 8, with about 70 teachers. She said that isn't a big change from BICE, with its nearly 900 students and about 40 teachers. Redman also will have 3 assistant principals and a dean of students. This year, she will have a principal fellow who will shadow her. This will be Redman's 16th year in education. Quote, there has to be an administrator at all of the home games and the fine arts events. So, between the 6 of us, we'll be able to attend to those. I'm going to try to go to as much as I can just so that I can be involved and be there for the kids and the teachers and be a support, Redman said. She added that it will be nice to see the students at their extracurricular activities. Quote, they feel more supported and that really builds relationships, Redman said. At the elementary level, they have PTA programs and parent events. Quote, but starting in middle school, the kids get more involved in the different fine arts, in sports, and so they become more invested in school in that way. I think being there will help build the relationships, Redman said. I'm just looking forward to getting started and seeing where we can go from here, she added. Altogether, Redmond and her husband Brian have 5 children. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Wonder Girls. The Crisis Center of West Texas has scheduled Wonder Girls today through Thursday in the student building at Crossroads, 6901 Service Road, Highway 191. The annual STEM, Arts, and Empowerment Day camp for girls entering grades 5 through 8. Donations are welcomed for scholarships for campers. Volunteers are also in need to register, donate, volunteer, or for more information, email Hannah Horick at hannah@ccwtx.org or visit ccwtx.org/Wonder Girls. Family Game Night. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Family Game Night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. today in the Basement Activity Room. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Scavenger Hunt. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a sea creatures scavenger hunt through July. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. School Supply Drive. The Odessa East Rotary Club has scheduled a school supply drive through July 29th. Drop items off at the Avalos Law Office, 520 North Lee Avenue. The drive will benefit ECISD students. Star Yard of the Month. Keep Odessa Beautiful is currently accepting Odessa Pride Star Yard of the Month nominations for August. Star Yard of the Month recognizes Odessa's citizens who contribute to the overall aesthetics and health of the city by maintaining exceptionally clean and beautiful properties, both residential and commercial. Call 432-335-4686, email kob@odessa-tx.gov, or visit keepodessabeautiful.org. We Care, We Help program. Keep Odessa Beautiful is offering We Care, We Help program lawn care services for citizens of Odessa who are unable to maintain their lawns. Eligible citizens must be disabled, elderly, veterans, or widow or widower. This program is volunteer-based. Dates and times of service will be provided with availability of volunteers. Register at tinyurl.com/5ybx5cy6. Call 432-335-4686. Email kob@odessa-tx.gov or visit keepodessabeautiful.org.
Odessa American Death Notices, published Monday, July 25th. Verna Jane Schulte Headley, Odessa. Verna Jane Schulte Headley, 90, of Odessa, died Sunday, July 17th in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 11 a.m., July 26th, at the Bridge, Odessa. Pastor Donnie Williams is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Lavina Salisbury, Odessa. Lavina Salisbury, 78, of Odessa, died Friday, July 22nd, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. July 29th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Continued use of Bactrim creates a resistance in treatment. Dear Dr. Roach, as a 90-year-old man in mostly good health, I've been taking one Bactrim sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim pill per day for several years now, preventatively for recurrent urinary tract infections. I'm very pleased with this successful treatment. However, my urologist has mentioned that I might have to relinquish the Bactrim at some point without a full explanation of why. Is there any danger in the habitual use of Bactrim? Answer. Both men and women who get recurrent urinary infections are sometimes treated with prophylactic antibiotics, such as the sulfa-based antibiotic that you are taking. The main risk is not toxicity of the medicine. It is that you might acquire a bacterial strain that is resistant to the antibiotic treatment. You are fortunate that you have gone several years without this developing, and you may go many more successfully. But other people periodically need to change the antibiotic they are taking. Prophylactic antibiotics are not the first-line treatment to prevent recurrent infection. Urologists, the specialists on the urinary tract, will evaluate the urinary system to try to identify a correctable condition. I trust your urologist has considered other options before prescribing your current treatments.
After decades of being alone, woman ponders purpose in life. Dear Abby, I'm 66 and a 20-year widow. I live alone but have an active social life with my women friends. We live in a small town with very little to do, but we get together often to watch movies, eat out. I've never had children, and all my relatives have passed away. I am the last family member left. I'm mostly satisfied but not happy with my life. Everything I own is paid for, and I have enough money to last until my death. I have everything materially I could possibly want or need, yet I feel something vital is missing from my life. It's not religion. I am a committed Christian. I could pay cash for anything I want, but I don't want for anything. I do volunteer work, am socially active and involved in my church, yet I feel empty inside. Something is definitely missing, and I can't figure it out. I realize I'm blessed, and most people would give anything to sit where I'm sitting. Do you have any ideas as to what's missing or where to go from here? Life is hard, and old age ain't for sissies. Signed, Living Life in Texas. Dear Living Life, you may be experiencing something people call an existential crisis, which is not uncommon. It refers to someone who wonders if his or her life has meaning or purpose. Rather than dwell on what may be missing from your life, perhaps consider spending some time reflecting on some of the positive differences you make in other lives as well. When was the last time you helped someone feel better about herself? Have you gone out of your way to do a friend or an acquaintance a favor, or lend a willing ear to someone who needed to talk? If the answer is yes, start a journal. Write your thoughts and activities down and review it when you feel empty. If you do it for a while, it may give you a different perspective. Discuss your feelings with your friends, some of whom have likely experienced something similar, and make 30 minutes of exercise a part of your daily routine. Exposure to sunlight can lift your mood, but if that doesn't help, schedule an appointment with your doctor to make sure everything is in order emotionally and physically. Dear Abby, whether my siblings were right or wrong or indifferent, my mom always stood up for them. Even when she knew they lied, she would look at me and say, "I have to believe them. They're my daughters." When I would ask her, "What am I?" she would restate her last comment. Not surprisingly, my mother and I don't see eye to eye on anything, and I would never feel comfortable going to her for help or advice. She has paid for all my sister's court costs. When I needed help as a student teacher, she told me I would figure it out. I always did, but I can never understand why she truly didn't like me. I guess I'm asking when I should just walk away. Signed, Ready to Call It Quits. Dear Ready, Your mother's blatant favoritism was shameful. To stick around attempting to ingratiate yourself to someone who will never give you the love or respect you deserve would be a waste of time. When should you walk away? You have my blessing to start today. I know that you will find it therapeutic.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.